I want to read a scripture. I find it in the book of Matthew, and in the 11th chapter. I have three verses here that I would like to read. It's a favorite of mine. I've read it here before. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, yesterday, while up at the church, I usually tried to listen to some of Paul Harvey's comments. And yesterday, I knew that some of them had had some experiences, but I didn't realize it was all of them that signed the Declaration of Independence. And you named each one and what happened to them, the death that they endured, and how some of them were hunted down and killed. It takes me back to the early Christianity, the church that Christ established, and how that they were imprisoned, fed to wild beasts, some of them soaked in oil and made torches of. Oh, it isn't a pretty picture. And the deaths that took place. And as I have studied the history to the extent, as I read them, I wept. For we find that Constantine, in his reign, using the bishops, the Eusebius of Caesarea, and his brother of Nicomedia, to mold the church like he wanted it, and then accepted of it. And then we have the restoration of the gospel. Is there a pretty picture there today? Look it over. And do you know we're going into a period of time that as I have read the histories and the scriptures to the extent that we're going to take place in this day and time, in the immediate future. Oh, you read things in the paper, but you don't read everything. It isn't all there. They've tried to shield some of the people. As I see it today, my heart aches for us, and especially our young. You know, I have met, I don't know how to describe it, but I've met a good many people. I want you to know I've met some wonderful people. And then I have met some that wasn't so wonderful. You know, and it's getting worse according to fanaticism. I hear different expressions made that it chills me. It absolutely chills me. I've heard people tell me, or had people tell me, pardon me, that there is on the average street, it isn't good for a woman to be able to walk alone, or a child. Yes, in Independence and Kansas City. Brothers and sisters, my heart aches. For as I visit the people up there on the temple lot, and they commence to ask me questions. Do you think you will build a temple? Do you think we will? That is an awful good question. I've had quite a lot of discussions with them. But we find, as they come in, I've had them come in there with the most antagonism you ever saw. The gospel of Christ does not teach that thing. It doesn't teach those things. That's all there is to it. And when I try to explain to them, to get them together through the heads of the different groups, it's impossible. And it's a peculiar situation. The scriptures read, only the pure in heart can assist in this work. Well, how will there be the pure in heart? You know, it has to start with number one. Right here. Number one. But do you know, as we look this situation over right in the face of it today, every nation under heaven is committed either for or against Israel today. And you know, as the way I look at it, oh, you may call me a politician. No, that's the last thing I would want. You know, President Reagan was listed to be shot. And I believe this whole thing is a sham that they've had up there. And it wouldn't surprise me yet to see it take place. Is this a heathen nation? It's not supposed to be. But when you take and are able to pick up a paper and have different things pointed out in there. Oh, it don't come right out and say it, but read it. You can see a lot of things taking place today. You know, in all of the communist nations today, every individual is placed in a position where his name and even his thoughts, I think, are written down. They put their finger on them. They know they're controlling them, what they want them to do, to say, and everything. Is that getting that way in the United States today? Look it over. It isn't bright. It isn't bright. And I'll show you something. As we go into the 38th and the 39th chapters of Ezekiel, as I've told those people up there, it says something there. Prophesy, and both of them now. Prophesy, son of man, against Gog, the land of Magog, the princess of Meshach and Tubal. And as I found at the beginning of the Second World War, it came out in the paper that Russia was 97% Jewish. Oh, I wish you could have heard the discussion in the Sunday school this morning at Warrensburg. It was something. It brought out a lot of these things. I started a research, and finally I found what I wanted. In the Standard Revised Bible, the first revision of the King James Bible, where it reads there, prophesy, son of man, against Gog, the land of Magog, the princess of Meshach and Tubal, it adds another name in there. The princess of Rosh, Meshach and Tubal. Well, who in the world is Rosh? All you have to do is go back and trace the lineage in Genesis, and you'll find that he is a son of Benjamin. That also looks to me like it's Russia. There's a lot of things in these books of ours that we've taken for granted, not realizing what it meant. I'm watching some things. In this book here, we find in the 7th chapter of 2 Nephi. Also in the 11th chapter, that the Jew will not be taken back to Jerusalem until they have accepted of Christ, have they? And who is it? You know, there was this much. In the southern kingdom, there was the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, and a half a tribe of Manasseh. And it's a pitiful situation the world has got itself into. And who done it? As I look back and I hear some of the sermons that old brother Flint preached, I took stock of. And there are just a lot of things that have taken place. You know, it's a peculiar thing. We find in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Yes, the 11th chapter of Isaiah. About the conditions, right at the last part now. Where it says, Judah will not vex Ephraim. And Ephraim will not envy Judah anymore. Why? What happened? What is it? It's the economic system of the world. the economic system of the world. That's exactly what it is. Who do you suppose has been backing Russia all these years? I mean financially. It's the Rockefellers. These things are a fact. But it says that they will, Ephraim and Judah will unite together. The last thing. One of the last things there in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And they'll ride on the backs or on the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. And it says the Lord's going to do something. That the tongue of the Egyptian sea will be destroyed. Going back to the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel. It says there that the nations will be brought down in that land over there. And brought to their knees and make them know that He is God. And you know, in a peculiar thing, it don't set the time or how long it will take. But it says something else. It would take 7 months to bury the dead. And this time, who would that be, folks? It would be the young. The young. Oh, they would put an old man up there. If they did, it'd just be to take up the bullets. But the thing of it is this. If we as individuals, oh, there's a promise. There really is a promise. But we must take advantage of the opportunities that we have and place number one where He's sure that His calling and election is sure. He can't depend on the other man to help him save his soul. He has to do it himself. These are the teachings of Christ. Because of the wickedness of the people, why, it's pitiful. When we go into the 13th chapter of 2nd Esdras there, we find where the northern kingdom was taken into the Babylonian, or the Assyrian captivity. And it says they took this counsel among themselves. Yes? They took this counsel among themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and they'd go into a further country where never mankind dwelt. That they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land. You know, studying the history of the gospel, your heart aches. Your heart aches. You know, Satan beguiled Eve right away after they were in the garden. And it's the hardest thing in the world. To control this man right here. I mean, it's hard. For in spite of everything you can do, it seems like, and it's every day. It's every day. That there's always something comes up. As I used to say when I was on the farm, I'm going to find a mule where I can back up to him and be kicked right good. Because it places a person, they want to do right. Yes, we do. But you know, you just get the feeling good, well, I've accomplished that much, and the first thing you know, you got a sour taste in your mouth. But do you know, if we can work together, yes, sir, I've told it in here before, if we will work together, I'm going to read you what can happen. And we find here, in the fourth book of Nephi, I want to read it to you. We can do it if we'll try. And we can overcome all of those thoughts and those things that Satan plants in our mind and in others' mind to antagonize you, because it's coming and it's going to get worse. And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they also did receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year the people were all converted. All converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions, what? And disputations among them. And every man did deal justly one with another. And they had all things common among them. Not in common, now they'll say that. They had all things common among them. Therefore they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free partakers of the heavenly gift. That's the point. That is the point. I, as a lad, too young to appreciate it, saw a Zionic condition, a people that were divided. And the Lord brought them where they were that way. One time, most of them they just divided even, part on one side of the room and one on the other side of the room. And you could tell what they believed. And the Lord took them. And he made a Zionic condition among those people. And I never will forget what a man said that belonged to the Catholic Church. As I took my little wagon and went down to the store to get a 48-pound sack of flour. And I passed he and his brother on the front, sitting on the stoop in the front of the store where we traded. And one of them made a dirty remark about the Latter-day Saints. And this man, he spoke up and he said, "Yes, but you know something? The Lord's working with those people. The Lord's working with those people." Yes? I tell you, my little shoulder just got broad right now. It made me feel good. But, did you know their names were Newsom? You know, a lot of them accepted the gospel of restoration of those families. They don't today, though. Why? I could go into detail, but there isn't any use. The thing I'm trying to bring to us today, tonight, that we might come to a realization of what is before us. You know, the Lord has promised. Yes, he's promised. That for the sake of his people, it plainly states it too in the Book of Mormon, that he will absolutely destroy the wicked by fire when they start something like that. It isn't that we want to see somebody hurt. That isn't what we want. That isn't what any of us want. The thing we want to do is just exactly what took place the morning of the people that were destroyed at the crucifixion of Christ, when this face of this land was changed, and how they mourned the loss of those that died because of their wickedness. They mourned it. They could hear them. Oh, if they have just repented. That is what it's going to take. Every ounce of the strength that each one of us can put forth. It's going to take it, and it's going to take united prayer. You know, this brings me to the point. You remember in this book here, Alma, the son of Alma. He did something. He and the sons of Mosiah. He went to work and went around teaching against the teachings that his father was teaching, the gospel that the Lord had for the people to have. Yes. And until it was terrible. But something happened to him. He was struck down. You know, when I was a little boy, I'd read this in the Bible here about Paul, where he was struck down. I wondered just what in the world did he go through? But Alma explains it. And it's also in the writings there. You know, he was hard up in his mind of what his punishment would be if he didn't repent. That's exactly what it was. And the Lord granted that wish of the people. Combined prayers of the people. That the Lord would spare his life. He was a good man. And after he had prayed for 3 days, it says, the Lord brought him back, forgave his sin. But it was because the Lord gave him that chance, was because of all people united together. That's what we've got to do. So all the people united together. It brings it out that way. And the Lord granted that. We find then that he and the sons of Mosiah done a wonderful work, even among the Lamanites. You know why we're so small? I'd just well forget it, though. We have not tried. That's a fact. We have not tried to place ourselves where we could be united. You know, it's a peculiar thing. We go back to the three Hebrew children. The three Hebrew children. They refused to worship an idol. And where was they thrown? In the fiery furnace. Yes? Can you imagine what that would be? It's beyond description. It's a fact. It's beyond description. Finally, when that king looked in that furnace, said, "Didn't we cast three men in that furnace?" Said, "Yes." Said, "There's four there now. One like the Son of Man." The Lord will do these things for us if we'll put forth the effort. I don't mean maybe. And we're facing something in the near future. I'm satisfied it is in the near future that we'd better not be found not wanting, because we're getting close. These scriptures tell us, it won't be tomorrow. Maybe not 3 years from now, but it'll be pretty close. It will be pretty close. We also find Daniel in the lion's den. And I'll tell you, when you go into the private or some of the archives concerning the 12 apostles that Christ had, yes, and I've seen some of the ministry in the latter days too, have some of those experiences. How the people touched their garments and was healed. Are we living beneath our privileges tonight? I pray God, and pray God with all my soul, that we will pick up the loose ends. I mean it. Pick up the loose ends. And place ourselves tonight where that we may be able to walk in the shadow of our Savior in a more perfect manner than ever before. You know, maybe some of you don't know it, haven't heard of it. Maybe some of you have. I know some of you have. But you know, Philip, he was told to attach himself to a chariot. And as the Ethiopian eunuch, he baptized him. He taught him the gospel, and he baptized him. And then it says that he was next known at a certain place. How did he get there? You know, there was an old man in Mexico, Cayetano. One time they had dragged him by the hair of the head after he accepted the gospel around a square at Zon, Yucatan. He went on a mission. He was old. He was weak. He was sick. But he went on a mission to do some preaching back in the jungle. And he caught a bus to Merida, and they caught another bus there to another place, and walked 5 miles back in the jungle. And he was there a day or two. But when he came back, he was supposed to walk from where he was in the little village or little settlement where they were at to another place where a young man could take him in by a bicycle to catch that 5 miles to catch a bus. Well, that morning he left to go over to ride this bicycle with this boy. He didn't show up. The boy came over to see where he was, if what happened. Well, he said he went over there to see you. Well, that made the boy feel bad, and he got on the bicycle, and he rode that 5 miles. And when he got over there to that place where he had to catch that bus back into Merida, there he sat on a bench, fixed up bench. He said, "Kayatana, how did you get here?" He said, "I don't know. I started out. Next thing I knew, I was sitting right here on this bench." You know, we have a Father in heaven that if we'll exercise faith, if we'll place ourselves in that position whereby that the Lord can use us, we will have experiences like that too. You know, I read a story yesterday in the Grit magazine. Two elderly men, they were up in their 70s. They'd been attending church regularly, but every once in a while they'd play hooky. They'd go fishing. And they were going off a main road back into a place where there was a farm. And there, it had rained a lot like we've had lately, or a while back. And the car just mired down. And neither one of their wives knew where they were at. And they both had heart trouble. They went to work. They tried to push. They could. Their heart started hurting them, and they started to walk, and they couldn't do that. Finally, one of them found a place where he could kneel down, and he knelt down and asked the Lord to help him, help them, do something, help them get out of that dilemma. He went back and got in the car and stepped on the starter and put it in reverse. It backed right out. You know what he said? "There isn't anything going to keep me from going to church." He said, "When the Lord hear my prayer, he's a pretty good man." And you know, every one of us, every one of us tonight, as I stated to start with here tonight, how those that started this, brought about this government, how the end of their life was because they did this. Their honor, their honor, and with all their heart and their soul was pledged when they signed that Declaration of Independence. And that was challenged. Every one of them lost their lives. And it was brought about by signing that Declaration of Independence. Now, in establishing the Church of Christ, that Christ established even, it tells its story. It tells its story. It makes your heart ache. And when the Restoration come by, it wasn't a bit better. For their honor, their honor, Satan saw to it that something happened back there. They sure did. Yes, I can go back to my great-grandfather and great-grandmother just over the line in Lafayette County in 1831, was baptized by Oliver Cowdery. And their lives drifted apart when the church split up in Omaha, our winter quarters. My great-grandfather went up into Monona County, Iowa, and my great-grandmother went west with Brigham Young and became a polygamous wife. Yes, we make mistakes. But you know we can rectify them. We can repent of those things. And I've been told some awful things by some of my relatives because I came into the Church of Christ, but I'm still here, and I'm going to still be here, I hope. And I pray God for the strength that I may be able to try to help others to see the truth of things. You know, the Book of Mormon makes a statement. It's a peculiar thing. They started to build a temple. Why didn't they build it? The Book of Mormon tells us that's to be built in the New Jerusalem. But that's a condition then, isn't it? We'd better get ready because we have tarried too long. And I pray God tonight that He will touch the hearts of each one of us to that extent that not by words are shallow, not by words, but by example. Let us place ourselves in that way and in that manner in the hands of our master men. We don't have to legislate things for all things common or a Zionic condition. We have to have it in our heart. And by our works they shall know us. You know, I was going to say something, but I better not. There's a lot of people who will just take all they can get to take advantage of our gratitude toward all men. But we find in several different places in the Bible and the Book of Mormon to use wisdom. Use wisdom in those things. We cannot run faster than we have strength. So may God take us by the hand tonight and help us in our endeavor that even our thoughts, we can put those thoughts out of our mind that should not be there. But the Lord will help us by our actions to be able to accomplish the work that lies before us. And that He will guide and direct our counsel. May God bless you is my prayer.